distortion.
Welcome to the podcast, Appetite for Distortion. My name is Brando, episode number 450. Welcome to
Whoa.
The... I know, welcome to the... It helps my... I'm a slight OCD. 450 is a nice number.
That's a nice round number.
Right?
Congratulations. That's
Thank
amazing.
You. Not 500 yet, but 450. It's just, again, it's solid. So welcome to the podcast. I mean, this is why I do 450 episodes, to speak with Wolf Hoffman of Accept. How are you, sir?
Good. So 449 was just a warm-up to speak with me. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's all been building up until this moment. Exactly.
The grand finale. So I better say something meaningful. Huh?
So you told me off air that you're currently in Italy right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't know if that was a secret that I can't reveal. If you're, it's a secret location.
I'm at an undisclosed location for safekeeping. That's right.
Okay.
No, I'm a. I was doing a bunch of press dates in Europe. They had me go to Paris and to Stockholm, and I just stayed on for a few days here in things in Europe. So I'm basically headed back to Nashville, where I reside, and then we're gonna start touring from there.
Awesome. Well, let me ask, because you've been doing the interviews for so long, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, your 17th studio album?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And so, I'm probably past 450 on interviews.
Oh, I am sure. I am 100%
but
sure of that. So
I have not counted them.
You know, and I was telling you off air to reveal myself, my real radio job, I was connecting people like you to interview. So today I was actually connecting contestants from The Voice on NBC to radio stations.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I was being producer. Now I'm on the other side. So I know what it's like to be on both sides of the mic. I mean, in just a few minutes I've gotten to know you, you're very friendly. Do you like doing interviews?
Oh, thank you. So are you.
Thank you. Do you feel any pressure to do it? Is it part of the job? Do you like what? Because music is the main driver. So what are interviews for you?
They can be a lot of fun. They can be loose and pleasurable. And like, you know, we're just chatting with friends with French.
Can be also sure.
But sometimes it can all be a little bit like pulling teeth. It all depends on the interviewer, I would say.
Sure.
It's a two-way thing, man. I don't like the interviews that are just sort of reading off a question, and then once you've answered it, they go like, okay, so let me look on my list. And then, that kind of, that kind of stops the momentum. I like the interviews when there's a lively back and forth between two people, that's when time flies and it's a lot of fun.
Good. That's my wheelhouse. That's kind of conversational. And I've been doing radio for 20 plus years, and I've done where, you know, I'm writing down the questions, but I've just found myself, I get too focused on the questions instead of.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I would probably do the same. I would be, if you're just reading off the question one by one, you don't really pay attention to what the guy just said. And I don't know. It's just different ways of doing it, but I prefer a loose conversation more than a checklist kind of thing.
Right. So I only have one thing on my checklist, which we'll get to, in addition to promoting, of course, Humanoid out April 26th.
Right.
I also speak what I'm thinking about, and I try to make a connection, and I can't help but think, and I don't know if at any point in time, as I do this, because you're in Italy, I'm in Queens, New York, my wife and 11-month-old son may come home in any minute, so it's...
Right.
They were gone for the weekend, and I actually got to sleep in. So all I could think about is energy, you know, energy to do something that you love. And you may laugh at me. I'm 40, okay? So I'm only 40, I guess, your certain perspective. That
you're a kid, is what you're saying.
Thanks, sure. That I obviously love doing this, you know, talking to people like you. I'm just making the comparison for you with being a guitarist and being on stage. It still takes from me a little extra energy to kind of like, okay, I got to get in the conversation mode, because when the mic's off, I'm pretty quiet. You know, I even mumble. Right. I'm just like, I'm just not into it. So after all this time, how do you summon the energy to play with the amount of that you play with and still hit the stage and tour the world? Or does it come naturally to you? My long-winded question.
Good question. Yeah, I don't think I've ever even thought about it. Excellent question.
Because it's not like you're just standing there with a guitar playing music, because there are certainly people of all ages can do that. But when you're playing the level of accept and that music, I mean, that takes a certain amount of, you know, to get into. And then once you do it, like now, I was tired right before the interview, but now I'm into it. I'm awake. But I'm just curious. If
The same happens when you actually get into touring and such. The first few shows, you haven't done it in a while, and you feel a little sore after the show, and you kind of feel your bones. But after a while, it's like, it's almost like working out. When you first get it back into the gym after a long time, everything hurts, and you kind of hate yourself, or everything is like, ah. But then you do it more often, and it becomes this sort of, it gets easier. That's all I noticed. But yeah, if you haven't toured in a while, or then it takes a little bit of, we got to get into the zone of things, and you got to like prepare yourself mentally for it. And you got to start rehearsing, got to get, you know, back in shape if you're not, and all this kind of stuff. So it takes a bit of focus, I would say, and determination to do it. You can't just say, you know, I'm on vacation and tomorrow I start a tour and just, you know, just out of the blue. I think it takes a little bit of, it takes more than that, you know.
Sure, absolutely. So that's a fair comparison. I don't work out, but when I did, you know, or that's what I hear. it's but no, I completely understand what you're saying. And maybe the same line of thinking to what was making this album. I mean, it may not be an easy answer. You know, what's the process like versus when you started? I mean, I think the first one came out in 1979, I believe. Is it, you know, how is the album process, you know, there's a lot of variables, I guess, changed for you? And is it more fun to do now, maybe with being more creative, more technology, or is it different early in the early 80s? Like, how would you compare making an album today versus when you started out with Accept?
Well, the first album is like pretty much like in every band, it's an accumulation of stuff that happened over the years that you've been sort of just messing around in the rehearsal room. You know, some of these songs might have been written years earlier. Some of them were just brand new. So it's basically, that doesn't count. The first album never really counts. But after that, you get into this sort of routine where you're basically forced to write a bunch of stuff within a certain amount of time, because you know you want to make a new album, and you say to yourself, okay, guys, we need new songs. And then back the early days of our career, we tried to write all of us together, but very soon you find out that certain people have more and better ideas than others. It's basically that simple. You know, some guys are a little more, have more ambition to write, and some others don't, or they don't have a talent or the creativity. I don't know what it is, but it's usually never equal in any band. So there was two or three of us that wrote all the early material, and then later of us it was just two of us, and now it's just basically I'm the one doing it. And the process really hasn't changed that much, to be honest. I mean, you sort of get into the songwriting mode and you make yourself work on songs. Songs don't just happen. You have to, you know, imagine, probably maybe it's like writing a book or something. You know, you don't just have the great idea for it. You have to make yourself commit the time and start writing, and stuff starts to happen. I believe that's how it probably is for authors too.
It all starts and ends with the word, the song, you know, the songs. That's exactly, you know, no matter what changes,
but,
you know,
what I'm trying to say is, I guess, once you start writing, ideas will start flowing. But if you never make yourself start, then nothing will ever happen. I don't have any ideas in the middle of the night, and there's a great idea for a song. Let me just record that quickly. For me, it doesn't work that way.
What about with Humanoid? Because there are certain, you know, current themes, topical themes in there that talking about AI, what you want to express yourself. So I guess start to finish, how long did it take for you to finish this? And when were you first inspired to, you know, make Humanoid? Was it right away, hey, I want to make this album? Or did it start out with a song, a riff? How did it, you know, beginning to end?
No, we kind of knew after the touring for the last album, To Me to Die, and fans, you know, at some point we know it's time to write new songs. The fans are asking for it, and we basically determine ourselves at the label, and everybody says, hey guys, when can we get a new album? So we know it's time. And then I basically ask everybody, please, everybody in the band, please sit down, start collecting ideas and send it in when you can. And then some guys do and some guys don't. There's not everybody in the band is a writer, like I said earlier. And so on this album, our other guitar player, Uwe Lulis, wrote a few tunes. Martin Motnick, the bass player, wrote a few lyrical ideas. Mark Tonillo sent in some pretty complete sets of lyrics for two or three songs. And then I sat there and wrote the rest of the stuff over the course of, I don't know, 6 months, maybe something like that, 8 months. I didn't really keep track of it, to be honest.
Okay.
But I was spent many, many days just being alone with myself and just writing stuff. And yeah, that's how it usually starts.
Do you have like a special room or place that you go to write, or is it just wherever you could be in traffic? You know, like, do you have a certain?
No, of course I need my equipment. I need my guitar and all that stuff. Sometimes I try to do it on the road even, but that's notoriously difficult because you're not in the right frame I'm not in the right frame of mind. It's better for me if I say, okay, I've got open time. I don't have anything to do the next 2-3 weeks. That is perfect for me. That hardly ever happens, but I try to make it happen and say, okay, this is my time. I need this time to write songs. And then I go into my studio, and just basically jam with myself until I come up with a little lick or a little riff or a little melody that I think is worth recording. And I record it and then move on to the next. And I do this without thinking too much. Over the course of several weeks, with other words, I try not to immediately judge my ideas. I try to think more like a child with a pencil. It was just noodling along without thinking that this is going to turn to something grand masterpiece. I'm just trying to have a little musical fun initially.
And not overthink it, you know, which is, that's a good approach.
Exactly. But don't judge it right away. Don't go immediately and say, oh, this was crap, or this is going to be amazing, or any of that. You know, I just try to be neutral and just say, okay, it's a bit of it's a sketch, basically, you know.
Sure. What are your thoughts, and what are the tracks, unless it is a theme throughout of on AI? Because we're still in the early stages. I'm not one of those that's going to think it's going to turn it into the Terminator Skynet, at least not in my lifetime. But
yeah.
We see the early stages of it now where it is kind of scary, where you can't tell a picture apart whether it's artificial intelligence or not. But you can also see it's a creative tool for the human to use, for actual somebody to use. So what are your thoughts on AI and potential good and bad?
Well, I think you already answered yourself.
Okay.
The potential good is that you can create sometimes when you use, like, for instance, I tried it for lyrical ideas, and it's scary good, to be honest. You can just say, hey, write me a song lyric for something. Then, of course, it spits out some pretty amazing stuff. But, of course, you have to say, is this really what I wanted to say? And is it me? Well, and how would I really say it? So you still have to tweak it and stuff. And we ended up never using any of it. But I was still, for songwriting and demoing stuff, I was quite intrigued. I found it intriguing. Like, it gives you a bunch of ideas that you hadn't thought about. And of course, I've seen some images that were done with AI that I thought, whoa, you know, a designer or a human would have to spend a lot of hours creating that thing, but it spits it out like that. You know, the shadow and downside of this is, of course, that people might lose their jobs over it. And the downside is also that it's not really truly original. You know, AI doesn't really think of this stuff. It just looks at all the other stuff that was created by people and turns it into a different new version.
Right.
It uses, you know, in the case of music, for instance, you know, it uses existing songs and creates a new version, kind of like it, but it doesn't do it out of the blue sky. It looks at your stuff that, you know, somebody created, and somewhere, you know, it's all kinds of legal issues that come up. So I'm a little concerned about all that. Yeah.
Sure. And that's the transition, if you haven't noticed, that the theme and the name of my podcast, Appetite for Distortion. I always say everyone and their mother, which I'm sure you know, has a podcast, but I want to be a little different with a Guns N' Roses theme. And Guns N' Roses.
Good idea.
I think so. I mean, it's a double-edged sword because it makes me stand out. But at the same time, some people just think that's all I talk about. But as you just saw up until this point, it's not all. It's not just GNR. It's everything. It's a nucleus of a conversation. So they, in their latest video they put out for the song "The General," it's all artificial intelligence. But there was a company that started out and they posted like drafts and drawings of it. But it was met with a lot of pushback, and it got me thinking. Just like you said, it's not from the brain. It's not like Axl Rose with the Dolphins and Estranged back in '93. So in addition to lyrics, which weren't your bag, you got some ideas. What about just, because I've seen some fan creations of AI. Would you ever make like an AI video? Is that?
Actually, we are making one right now.
Okay.
It's going to be released, I don't know, in about a month or so. But you'll see it, and it's interesting. I mean, I think it's fantastic just to see it. Of course, as you know, we thought, you know, even the first video we made, Humanoid, has got in the background. We're performing in front of a gigantic video wall, and the artwork that runs in the background, that is all created by AI. Just because, I mean, here we are. That's what we're talking about on this album, Humanoid. So it seemed to be just a fitting tool to use. Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
But, you know, there's going to be some we still haven't quite figured out how this is going to turn out, how this is going to pan out in the future. How much of it is good? How much of it is bad? We're still at the infancy.
Oh, life. Well, it's going to be an interesting adulthood for my kid, who turns again 11 months old today.
Isn't it? I mean, I think we're in the middle of a huge, I mean, this digital revolution, as they call it. I think it's bigger than the Industrial Revolution was, and I think it has more far-reaching consequences on society than anything.
Yeah, it's hard to argue, and I'm not going to argue with you on that.
One thing is for certain, we can't stop it. It's going to happen whether we want to or not.
As they say, the horse is out of the barn, the toothpaste is out of the tube. It's out. It's out.
Yeah, it's out, and it's going to get used. We just have to, you know, see how to deal with it. That's what we haven't figured out yet.
Just
technology is so fast, we can't keep up with all the, yeah,
just
how society deals with it.
Are we in the Matrix right now, Wolf Hoffman? Yes or no?
Of course we are.
in addition, because I use a 6 degrees of what I call GNR bacon, and I wasn't sure if there was any connection. Before I get at you out of here, of course I got to talk some GNR. I don't know if you've have met any of the guys, and any relationship with like Slash or Duff, or have you seen them in concert before? Do you have any 6 degrees of Guns N' Roses bacon?
I do not. Never had any interaction with any of them.
Okay.
Or did I? No, I have not.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever even seen them live, to be honest. No, I've not.
Okay. So,
So I'm kind of a virgin in that sense.
okay, so no 6 degrees there. But let me ask you, because it was unavoidable in 1987 when Appetite for Destruction came out. Do you remember what your thoughts were? Because it was, in a lot of fans' eyes, it was a changing of the guard a bit with the glam rock, the hair, what's called hair metal. How did you see it already providing a harder type of rock? Did you see it that way?
I did. I remember actually, I remember where it was. We were at the photo studio in New York, and the photographer was Mark Weiss, and he played it. He did a photo session with us, you know, the old-fashioned style with like glam. I mean, we weren't really ever a glam band, but he, you know, the style back then was pretty like pretty pictures with posts and, you know, good-looking hair and all this kind of stuff.
Sure.
But then he played us this track. Hey, check this out. This is the new Guns N' Roses, and it's going to be big. And I didn't know what to think of it. I wasn't immediately turned on by it because it was just I could feel the rawness of it. I recognized the songs were really good, but I didn't know quite what to do with it. But you could feel that change was due. And I mean, you could feel that change was in the air, and it all came true. The days of like this super styled and you know, MTV metal was over, kind of sort of.
Yeah, that's cool for you to get. Thank you for sharing your perspective on that, because it's I want to hear that not just from the fan. I know what I think. I know what the fans think, but to hear that from musicians who have been already in the industry for several years, and to hear these upstart Guns N' Roses coming out of nowhere, you know what you would think. But it also got me thinking of, and I asked Dee Snider this too, of what's like an anthemic song, like I Want to Rock, We're Not Going to Take It, Welcome to the Jungle, Balls to the Wall. Do you feel that gets the recognition of being like one of the biggest metal anthems of the 80s? If not, I mean it is, it really is. If you want to talk, you know, 80s metal, if you don't know Accept, if you don't know Balls to the Wall, and it's, you don't hear a lot of those anthems now, and I love those kind of rock and metal songs. So I'm just curious, maybe how you view it all these years later.
Well, it was definitely, I don't know if it got the recognition. It's hard to say because it was definitely a huge song for us, and it gave us a worldwide record deal. We started touring worldwide, and in America, I got a lot of recognition that we wouldn't have gotten without that song, that's for sure. And it's interesting. Ha! Hello there.
Harrison had to make an appearance. Sorry. Keep going. Keep,
Harrison?
yes, Harrison. His speaking of GNR, his radio name is Baby Brownstone, but Harrison Rex, named after George Harrison. Is that's?
Oh, Harrison, how's it going? Cute.
So I want to play him, you know, when he's ready. Balls to the Wall and this rock
Yes,
song he
please.
can sing along to, you know.
Yes, please. No, I was going to say Balls to the Wall definitely made a big change for us in our career, and I mean, it brought us to a different level. But at the same time, it always remained a bit of an underground kind of song. A lot of people, it's funny. More people know the song than the band even. I mean, a lot of people have heard of Balls to the Wall, but they're not really sure who the band is. I believe the song is almost bigger than the band.
That's interesting. Sure. See,
Yeah,
well, I guess
that's
he
my.
agrees with you.
But I'm not sure. It's just a feeling, gut feeling that I have.
Okay. Fair enough. No, I appreciate your views on that. And this means that Harrison means he's home. That means I have to take him away from
Yeah,
mommy.
he's
It
hungry.
means
You need to do daddy
the
duties. I can
episode is
tell.
over. Well, I mean, we had our half an hour together. We knew that. I knew this was going to happen. I thought maybe he would say his first word, except wolf. Can you say
Close enough.
wolf? Close enough. So, Wolf, thank you so much for your time. I hope we get to do this again.
Yes, please. This was a lot of fun.
You
All
got it.
right, you take care.
You take care.
Bye-bye, Harrison.
Bye. Oh boy. Okay, so we're gonna make this part extra quick because look at this guy. Look how cute he is. He wants to keep grabbing the microphone. So if you're listening on just audio and you keep hearing, that's Harrison Baby Brownstone starting his radio career early, since he wants to keep grabbing the microphone. Or he's just 11 months and wants to grab everything in sight. For those who have kids, why is it that they'll be surrounded by toys, but they will try to grab like a fork, a cat toy, a food that's been there that you've got to throw out, something like that? Yes, you have to learn how to behave yourself. That's right. So that was a lot of fun. So if you, thanks for those of you who listened to the last episode where it was just me and you, no baby Brownstone. I was fresh off a good night's sleep. So check out the all new AFDpod.com. Thank you for everybody who's been sending in some testimonials. So we're going to post them up there. I want to start making articles up there. So perhaps if you listen to this and you're like, you know what? I like what Wolf had to say in some things. I want to write a few paragraphs about it. Send it to me. Send it to me. We'll post it on the website. And who knows? It can get picked up by Blabbermouth and they could be quoting you. How awesome would that be? So AFD.com. And until the next episode, what's to come? Harrison's first words. Axel? Say it. Flash? Absurd? Nothing? Okay. All right. So until the next episode, when will you see it? In the words of Axel Rose concerning Chinese democracy, I don't know if as soon as the word, but you'll see it. Yeah!
Security, I'm going home.